people, one of my good buddies, Mr. Larry Majors. And you have a guest on with you, Mr. Doug Clark, is that right?
That's right. We grew up together, went to school together at Huntland, at grammar school and high school there.
Is Huntland still a school?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, Huntland will always be a school. they're only two public high schools there in Franklin County. Huntland and number two is Franklin County High School. And it's always been a war between those two. It's kind of like North
Has
and South.
Has anybody ever beat Huntland and that live or that had a school in Franklin County? Did anybody ever beat Huntland?
No. We scrimmaged Franklin County when Doug and I were freshmen.
Uh-huh.
And we beat them 5-2. And it's only two times that the two teams ever played in football, and we beat them pretty solid. That's 1955. The Frank County folks up there at Frank County High, they don't like to talk about that. Whenever they do, they say, "Hey, we had a good scrimmage, didn't we?"
Y'all were kind of like Murfreesboro Central was back in the old days. They beat just about everybody, although when the county basketball tournaments, and that was a new thing. I mean, it was just...
Yeah.
It was like a gunfight at the old K Corral.
I can imagine your county schools, they all had great basketball programs back in the late 40s and all throughout the 50s and early 60s when I was around.
Did you ever hear of Jimmy Montgomery?
Well, of course, everybody heard of Jimmy Montgomery, and I've seen him play. He was great.
Did you get to see him play?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he wasn't that much older than me.
We want to let you know that this part of their show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church, doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. You can reach them at 713-4639 or on the internet at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639. Well, it's good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, I was just beginning to wonder if you still consider me a friend or not.
I do consider you a friend, and I have to apologize to you personally. I was going to go to your big bash over at your place, and something happened that I couldn't get loose, unfortunately. I really was looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm sorry you couldn't make it. Doug, my buddy over here, he comes every year. It's a little bit different from anything else you go to. We have a character there that shows up every year that does a little, I don't know what you call it, a skit or something, and it has a little different touch to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that wouldn't have anything to do with any of the Majors families.
He claims to be Ken. I think he's a Russian. One of the Russian Ken. Introduced himself as Frankie Majorowski.
Tell me about it, Doug. You've been there. Am I making a mistake by traveling over to Larry's house?
Oh, no. You'd always have a hoot there at Larry's. Those kind of parties that he has up there for all his friends and everybody else in the country. He has a great time, great place at Suwannee where we get together. Always, always good times. He knows how to put on a party.
You know, there's nothing like friendship that carries on all the way from school. And you guys, I think, first got together, you mentioned, in the fourth grade.
Right.
And you've been buddies ever since then. And that's something that's really special.
Yes, it's been very special for both of us, I think. It's really nice when you can live to be 71 years old and go back to the fourth grade and talk about old times and see each other practically every other day and share things and do things together. He's truly a good friend of mine.
Mentioned being 71 years old and fortunate to remember back when you're in the fourth grade. That's about all we can remember anymore.
Sometimes
ask you what you did 30 minutes ago, that might be a problem.
Sometimes Truman is tough, I can tell you.
Playing with the Majors kids had to be something special, because that the Majors family, they're known throughout the Southeast, not just in Tennessee or not just in Middle Tennessee. Everybody knows the Majors families.
That's true, and not just playing with them. They were such a great family. I felt like I was a part of that family, and that's the way the Majors family. That's the way they all are, and they still remain that way. And you know, they always made you feel at home. And Larry and I were raised up kind of the same way, and we just always hung together, and we were able to play play sports with Bill during mm-hmm. high school. And I don't think we
played under our daddy too.
Coach Majors. I should have spoke about Coach Majors at first, because next to my daddy, Coach Majors has been the most inspiration in my life. He was such a great man and such a great coach and just a great person. He taught you how to be a man, and taught you what good life's about and how to stay away from the bad things in life. And he stayed close to us, not only as players, but as people, and just good young men. And believe me, from the time we were playing basketball for Coach Majors in the seventh grade and playing football, and he always called us young men then. And you know, you never forget. No one that's ever played for Coach Shirley Majors, I guarantee you that they can't forget him, and what a great legend, what a great man he was.
Now, was he a disciplinarian?
Absolutely. If he had to be, he could be he could be the most gentle person in the world. And he would stand up for you, and he would stand by your side, and he would do things for you that most people would not think about doing. But when it came to doing the right thing, you better be paying attention, and you better do your job and do it right. And that's all he ever really expected out of you. He was a great man.
Now, what did he – see, I played for Coach Lee Pate.
Mm-hmm.
When you knew that you have fixing to catch the wrath of Shirley Majors – how could you tell?
Coach Majors, and I think the whole family has this thing with their eyes. They have a tendency to look you right in the eye and talk to you. And with Coach Majors, he expected you to look him in the eye mm-hmm. when you talked to him. And he could certainly get his point over without saying a whole lot by just looking at you and mm-hmm. talking to you.
Yeah, Coach Pate would always say, "Law, son." He never would say anything really bad, but when he said "Law, son," you could just feel your spine just start straightening up. I said, "Oh my!" It had to have been harder. Was he harder on the boys? I'm talking about his boys than he was on you guys. He almost had to be, because that seems to be the one thing you don't want to play for your dad in anything, because you're going to have to do twice as much.
Unique thing about Coach Majors, you know, his boys, they had to take it just like everybody else had to take it. But at times, I could see the fact that Coach Majors would show his boys, but they all had so much talent, and he would work with them, but you really couldn't tell when you were on the field or on the floor playing basketball, football, baseball, whatever. They were just like the rest of us, but I think he might have expected. I know a few times when Larry and I were playing together that he had chewed Larry out really good and pat me on the back. And I know one experience we had. I'll let Larry tell you about
well,
that.
He wasn't trying to be excessive, cruel to me. He was just calling it like it was. Doug is being modest here. Doug was outstanding. He was an outstanding athlete. He could play in sports, and Doug was the best basketball player we had in my class.
Right.
And we were playing eighth grade game against one of the other county schools, and Doug was just doing a great job, and. I had a tendency, I didn't understand the offensive part of the basketball game, and I had a tendency to not know what to do if I didn't have the ball. And Doug, we were playing like six or eight minute quarters, and at the end of the first quarter, Doug had 8 points. I didn't have any, and so quarter ended and we huddled up over there, but my daddy said, you guys are doing a pretty good job, because we were keeping it close one way or the other. And he looked at me, and he said, pointed at Doug, said, Doug Clark, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. And he turned around to me and said, Larry, you're not doing a thing. said, you're standing around there watching the game. You're not, you've got to get with it. You can get to moving. And, well, I tried to, respond, but Doug, he just had a knack for basketball. He was the best we had.
He left out the best part, though, Truman. The thing that happened in that game is we were both pretty tight starting the game, and we crashed into each other. Do you not remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Was that because he wasn't moving?
No. I think we were just trying to get going. We were playing in a little small grammar school, and we'd been practicing on our high school basketball court, and we weren't used to running 20 feet to mid court. And I think we crashed a little bit, and that upset Coach Majors a little bit. But he was always right there to tell you what to do and what not to do.
Was he as into basketball as he was football? Because I always think of him just strictly football.
Well, he's one of those people that could coach anything. He played football and basketball and baseball growing up, and he was always a student of anything that he decided to participate in. He was going to, he intended to excel in it. Like he was a bird hunter, and he was, and he, for instance, he had, his dogs were going to be well trained, well disciplined. He was a good shot, and he said that he coached his players and trained his bird dogs and raised his kids all the same way. And I believe it, but he just had a knack for coaching, and he was a real good basketball coach. Coach Page, was an outstanding football coach and an outstanding basketball coach.
He really didn't know a whole lot about basketball when he started coaching. Yeah. You're right.
Daddy loved baseball. He was an outstanding baseball coach.
Now, one of the brightest times in the Majors family had to be in that 1956 team at Tennessee had.
Well, there was more to it than that, because Tennessee went undefeated, and our high school, Daddy's high school team went undefeated. Matter of fact.
Well, that happened every year, though, didn't it?
Well, just about. But matter of fact, in 56, we went undefeated, and played in Murfreesboro at the Middle Tennessee Stadium in the first Kiwanis Bowl game in November the 16th, 1956, against Cumberland, which is no longer a school. It was in North Nashville.
Yeah.
Cumberland had a great team. and a great running back by the name of Leroy Overstreet, who later played at Austin Peay State. Overstreet, Leroy was probably the best high school running back that we at Huntland ever played against.
Now, what position did you play?
Well, I was a starting safety. We used a 5-4-2 because not many people threw the ball those days.
Yeah.
And my brother Bill played left safety. I played right safety. I will tell you about one play in that game. I was a second stringer on offense, but did start the last three games both ways because of injuries.
And what position do you play on offense?
Well, I started the last two regular season games at left end.
Uh-huh.
Because Doug's cousin Charles Clark, who was a great football player, had an injury and was seeing double vision. And then I started the last game, the bowl game, at wingback because our great wingback.
That's where all the good players. That's where I played.
Spud Goff, who was an outstanding player for us, got hurt in the last regular season game, and I had to start at wingback because Spud. But I'm going to tell you about this one play. Overstreet was just such a tremendous player that we were keying on him, of course.
Yeah.
And at first they were giving it to the fullback off of their right side, our left side, which was away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they faked to the quarter to the fullback off right guard tackle and gave it to Overstreet on a counter back to my side. And when the ball snapped, I was already over there. Just ready to kill that fullback, and I noticed something was wrong because my first recognition that something was wrong was when I met my brother Bill, who was the other safety. I was going to the fullback, and he was coming back toward my position to get the man with the football, who I was completely fooled, and I never saw my brother Bill. In 4 years, four-year starter, never lost a game in 4 years of high school. And I saw him miss one tackle, and then he missed Overstreet on this play. He took the angle, because Overstreet went right by where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was 7 or 8 yards from Overstreet when he went by my position. And so Bill took the angle and chased him. It was 0-0, first play of the second quarter, and he made a 72-yard run, didn't score. Bill took the cutoff angle and chased him up just past midfield. And Bill's about 6'1", and Overstreet was probably about 5'8", 5'9", at the most, and got up there and had great balance. And he cut back and ducked under Bill's arm. Well, after... rewind a little when I saw Bill pass me and realized that I was going the wrong way, and when I turned around I was so mad at myself that I was pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I was as fast as anybody on the field as a 15-year-old sophomore, and I don't mean to brag. I was fast.
I know you were fast.
And so when he cut back under Bill, because Bill fell down, and it was either me or he was going to score. And of course, when he cut back, he saw me coming. So he cut back again, back the original route, mm-hmm. tried to get away from me. But he didn't have the chance to get momentum. And by the time I chased him down and hit him in the back and tackled him, he'd gotten to the 16-yard line. Now you can do the math. It was a 72-yard run, and I tackled him on the 16-yard line. That shows you how far he had to go. He was back inside their own 20, and that led to the first score of the game. But we went on to win the game 19-13.
Was your daddy happy with you for catching the guy, or was he mad at you because you didn't stay in your position?
My daddy didn't always. He wasn't not like some coaches. Some coaches got to tell you something every play. He'd sometimes go long periods of time before he'd say something to you. He never said anything either way about it because it was the heat of the battle.
Yeah.
And we couldn't substitute because we had I had to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't taken out. And he wouldn't always take you out like a lot of coaches would anyway. He, If you made a mistake, he give you a chance, second chance. But if you made a second mistake, then you're going to be coming out. But he never said a word about it, even when we didn't take films, but Cumberland took a film of it, and they were nice enough to send it down, let us bark for a while and look at the film. And even when he was watching the film, he didn't say a word, because he knew I knew what I had done wrong.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Are you tired of being taken advantage of when you bring your car in for service? Have you been searching for an honest repair shop that employs mechanics with honest Christian values? If you have been searching, you just found the right place. I'm Robert McConnell, and I'm proud to say that my shop is your place for honest automobile repair and service. Give us a call today at 896-1407, or just stop on by. Remember, at Robert's Auto Repair, we care, and we're always here to help.
Robert's Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Broadcasting to every nook and cranny of Rutherford County's 618 square miles. FM 100.5, 101.9, and AM 1450.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Jim Williams. Metro Nashville firefighters have recovered a body from the Cumberland River. A rescue boat pulled the remains from the river near the Opry Mills Shopping Center just after 7 Central Time this morning. The search for a missing fisherman's on again in West Tennessee. 39-year-old Nehemiah Crenshaw's boat was found on McKellar Lake Saturday. The man who found it with no one on board marked the spot and towed the boat to a marina. It was there authorities found Crenshaw's SUV and a boat trailer. A day-long search Sunday failed to find him. Crews called off the search at nightfall but are back at it this morning. Here's something a lot of jurisdictions never do, which is why you end up with silly old laws on the books. Not in the Guitar Town. They're updating things.
Officials in Metro Nashville are in the process of updating laws that are anachronistic, unenforced, or unenforceable. Some of the statutes were created 50 years ago when Nashville and Davidson County merged and are outdated.
TRN's Dan Item. The state health department says half a dozen people across the volunteer state have been sickened by salmonella. This has been traced back to those cantaloupes from Indiana. The outbreaks killed 2 people in Kentucky, sickened at least 140 in several states. And Tennessee's one of 19 states where produce company Tanimura and Antle is recalling its lettuce due to possible E. coli contamination. That voluntary recall concerns its field-fresh wrapped single-head romaine.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Skill Construction, established in 1991, has what it takes to provide quality products and service while delivering customer satisfaction in home building, remodeling, and restoration. Skill Construction, a name that assures homeowners and buyers a lifetime of comfort and superior value in their investment. A designated certified green professional, certified professional builder and remodeler by the Home Builders Association. 904-8842. It's better when it's built with skill. Skill Construction, 904-8842.
Being an ethical business is the same as being an ethical person. Do the right thing. The same moral code of values and principles we base our decisions on should be the same used in business. Customers and businesses will always thrive in a marketplace that's based on honesty and trust. BBB members make a pledge to do the right thing. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
The Ad Council.
New moms will be hearing more about breastfeeding from 16 hospital teams around the state. That project from the Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care aims to increase the number of newborns who are exclusively breastfed when they leave a hospital by about 10%. It was a record-breaking weekend at one county fair.
The Wilson County Fair showed why it's the fairest of all fairs last Saturday, bringing in a record crowd of over 116,000. The largest county fair of the state runs through this Saturday.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers. And in sports, the call's been made after only 2 preseason games and a less-than-stellar performance this weekend. The Titans reportedly will start quarterback Jake Locker in their September 9th NFL regular season opener against the Patriots. He went 4-for-11 for 21 yards Friday. Jim Williams, TRN News.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850, dynamicmedicalcenters.com.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy of Murfreesboro Outdoors inviting all y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, we're half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
Weather Eye.
Time to check the forecast. 67 degrees, sunny skies right now. And here is staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber with an update. How about the afternoon?
As we head through the afternoon hours, Brian will have partly sunny skies. Highs are going to be in the mid-80s. We'll have a north-northwest wind between 5 and 10. Mostly clear skies for tonight, 59 degrees for your low. As we head into Tuesday, we are at a high of 84 degrees with mainly sunny skies. Lots of sunshine on Wednesday, 87 for your high. 89 on Thursday, the sunshine continues. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Mandy, thanks. Right now, 69 degrees. Congratulations to today's birthday cake winner, Evan Hughes. Evan Hughes wins the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland, and our good neighbor of the day, Wendy Johnson. She receives a beautiful bouquet of flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts.
That update brought to you by Mini. Burning gas in traffic is rough unless you're in a Mini hardtop. With 37 miles per gallon, the only thing you'll be burning is rubber. Stop by your local Nashville Mini dealer today.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
Welcome back with us. And we were talking about 1956 as things were going on in Franklin County and things were going on in the state of Tennessee.
Knoxville.
Yes, in Knoxville. And that was one game that I saw. We had the best team in the country that year. And a couple of plays just kind of got us out of sync. But it was a tough. And one of the things you and I were talking about last night was how big Baylor was at that time. That was unusual.
For instance, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Glass. And he was a first-team All-America that year. Uh-huh. And he was bigger than any UT player, and he played guard. Mm. And their tackles were bigger than he was. They were this is strictly a guess. I would say easily their front line outweighed Tennessee's easily average 20 pounds per man heavier, maybe more, but at least 20. A vague memory of the looking at the programs and all, and saw the game progress. The old Tulane Stadium, the Baylor guys just, you kept thinking, well, Tennessee's line is going to start wearing them down, but they were not able to because these guys they were not big fat boys. They were big raw bone Texans. They all look like they just came out off from the rodeo. And they never could wear them down. And it was just a stalemate there on the line of scrimmage pretty much.
Johnny at that time, of course, played tailback, was one of the best passers in the country, one of the best runners in the country, and one of the best punters in the country. And one of his punts, I'll never forget, was in the Georgia Tech game. And it was a quick kick.
Yeah.
Caught him off guard.
He had several good punts. And matter of fact, it was a great punting duel because Bobby Gordon, the second string tailback, got the longest punt of the game at 70-something yards. John's quick kick was something like 65, 68 yards. And Johnny Minger, who was the punter for Tech, was hanging right in there with him, kicking 55 and 60-yard punts himself. I think the punt you're talking about is when Tech punted, Minger punted dead. As a matter of fact, the official had to get down on his hands and knees to look at it to tell whether it hit, was on line or not. As it turned out, luckily, the ball was sideways. The nose of the ball was pointing toward the sideline. If it had been pointing upfield, it would have been in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And he ruled it was 1 inch from the marker. So Tech, Mitchell, the quarterback safety for Tech, was playing back to about 25 yards deep, looking for a quick kick on the first play. The first play, John ran weak side off tackle for 16 yards and first down, and he got in the huddle. Of course, he was calling plays. In those days, playing both ways, the coaches couldn't call plays.
Yeah.
It was against the rules, and quarterbacks had to. And so John called after making a first down, 16-yard run. His teammates, I'd like to hear him tell about it, they were getting all fired up. All right, let's go get him, you know. And he said, quick kick. and they said, what? And he said, yeah. So then he quick kicked the next play, 60-something yards, and backed them up inside their own 20 and forced them to kick. And the exchange of the two punts, Tennessee gained about 30, 35 yards on the exchange.
And they won the game 6-3.
Six to nothing.
6-0.
Yeah, it was
That's
really.
That's right.
It was. A lot of people like in today's world, they spread everything out, and they you get these high scoring games, and the general fan loves those kind of games. But I'm one of those people. I like some of the most exciting games I've ever seen have been 7-0, 14-7. 10-7
matches,
but yeah, it is, and that game was 6-0, but it was exciting. Every play was anticipation of excitement, and there was a lot of good action in there. If you permit me, I'll tell you about one or two.
Yeah,
my brother Bill, as a senior in high school, was actually a prospect for Georgia Tech, and we had my brother Joe was being redshirted at Florida State. Was up, and my brother-in-law who played at UT, Tom Husband, and Joe Majors, Bill Majors, and myself, and a couple others, had passes, had benches outside the end zone on one end, and that's where we were. And Tennessee punted, and Tech in those days used a double safety on punts, and they do the crisscross. And this big Flowers guy was an older brother to the Flowers that was such a great fullback for Ole Miss and their great teams of the late 50s, early 60s. I can't remember his first name, but he was a big man, about 6'2", 6'3", and weighed about 220. All the other backs were pretty small for Tech. And they ran the crisscross, and Flowers got the ball. And he's running laterally back in about 2 yards deep in the end zone, going laterally trying to – and a Tennessee lineman came down there and hit him full speed about the thigh. And big, he just bounced off of Flowers. Flowers was able to get break the tackle and get back to the 2 yard line. And it was interesting to hear – we were just something like 2 or 3 yards outside the back of the end zone. And of course, the Tech guys were, I mean, I could take no more than 3 steps and been in their huddle. And you could see their eyes, and you could hear what they were saying. And it was really, that was one of the highlights of the whole game for me, was to hear those guys in the huddle and hear what things they were telling each other, you know, about what we got to do and all this kind of stuff. It was really fun. But, of course, Tennessee scored on a series of plays that led up to – they were like somewhere around their own 40, 45, and went formation left on the single wing, and John faked the draw to the fullback and hit Buddy Cruz, who's All-American. Buddy was one of the great athletes of all time in this state of Tennessee.
Kyle Buddy Cruz.
Still owns the record for the most points scored in the state tournament. I mean, I'm talking about state finals.
Right.
I think it was 56 something. I think it's 56 points. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he ran a down and out, about 15 yards down and out. Paul Rotenberry was the cornerback over there. He was, like I said earlier, that people had to play both ways. He was a left halfback on offense and left cornerback on defense. And Mitchell, the fine quarterback who was a tall man, about 6'3", was safety, ran it down and out and hit Cruz on the sideline for first down, put him down around Tech's 40-yard line, I guess. Mm-hmm. And next play, same formation, same action. Cruz made a cut to the outside, and John gave a pump fake, and then he cut back on the post. And when he cut back, Rotenberry, of course, he cut back, and Mitchell had broken on the play toward the outside. And when Cruz cut back to the middle, Paul Rotenberry, the cornerback for Tech, and their safety, Mitchell, they blocked each other. They collided, and both of them hit the ground. That left Cruz wide open with only the offside cornerback who chased him down at the one-yard line. Hmm. And on the first play, first and goal on the one, Bronson, who was one of the finest leaping fullbacks I've ever seen, leaped over for the touchdown. Tennessee had a little – the only weak spot Tennessee had, in my opinion, on the 56 team was their extra point kicking. They missed quite a few that year. And they missed that one. And
we hadn't got away from that this year yet.
Everybody was kind of, you know, the Tennessee people walking on eggshells the rest of the game, afraid that if they scored, they were likely to get the extra point. We were all afraid it might end up 7-6, but it ended up 6-0. I'd like to tell you one other personal story. Mm-hmm. My brother.
Let me do a quick commercial, and then we'll get back to your personal story.
All right.
And we want to let you know that this part of our show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. And they're here in Murfreesboro at 315 Hickerson Drive. You can pull them up on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman. And of course, they're both local guys here. And they are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and treating like family. Go ahead.
Well, my brother Joe, with his freshman year at Alabama before transferring to Florida State,
How did he get to Alabama?
Well, he did. Joe couldn't punt, and he didn't like. Joe was a speedy guy, but had a great arm, and he loved to throw the football. And he didn't like to sing wing because he didn't get to throw the ball enough. Okay. And he let us all know from the get go.
So he had to take second best
when he was young. That he would never go to UT because of the single wing. And there are a few people like Steve Spurrier and a few others that became great quarterbacks that went somewhere else because of Tennessee used single wing. Well,
Spurrier's still a good quarterback. He can take those headphones off and throw them as hard as anybody's I've ever seen.
I love Steve Spurrier. He's a great coach.
Yeah. I love to see him mad. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, we can get on to him here in a minute again if you want to. Joe, a lot of people think when I say, well, he went to Alabama and transferred, they think, well, that Bear Bryant probably ran him off. But that's not true. Bear Bryant wasn't there. I wonder how many people know that Alabama one time went 0-10 and then a three-year period went 4-26. This is the period I'm talking about. They had a coach named J.B. Ears Whitworth.
I wonder if we can get him back coaching again.
It'd be great. We'll bring him back. Bring him back. Joe Red Drew was head coach, and that was the staff that recruited Joe. And then he got fired. The season's over, Joe's senior year in high school. But Joe goes down there, and they got this new coach, J.B. Ears Whitworth, that come from Oklahoma State. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this, Bear Bryant turned the job down at Alabama at that time. And the reason, because he had just finished his first year at Texas A&M, and I may have said this on my first time on your program, and I'll tell you something about Bear Bryant's character. He told the Alabama people that he could not do it. He would love to coach there someday, but that he would not be doing the Texas A&M people right to come down there and coach 1 year and then leave. He said, I can't leave A&M until I finish the job, in order to give him a winning program, which he did do. And they won the Southwest Conference.
He had a pretty good halfback back then,
John David Crow.
Right.
They won the Southwest Conference, I think, in his either second or third year there. Anyway, Joe, his freshman year, which freshman couldn't play varsity, but Alabama, this is 1955, Alabama went 0-10. And Joe told my daddy, he said, I'm not going back. Mm-hmm. Daddy told him, you stay around, they're going to fire this guy eventually. And they'll bring Bear Bryant in there, and you'll have a great coach to play in. And he said, yeah, but Daddy, by the time Bear Bryant gets here, I'll be a senior. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to wait that long. So he went to Florida State. And that's I think I've forgotten what I originally started to tell.
Florida State really wasn't that big of
a school. No, they were just trying to get off the ground. Matter of fact, Florida State, about 6 years before – Joe went down there. They played Swanee in a home-and-home, hung in there close on them. But a guy named Tom Nugent came in there and really built the program up really, real fast. That was who Joe played under. Tom Nugent is the creator of the I formation, but he ran the true I, all four backs in one line, and mm-hmm. that's why it's called the I. A lot of people don't know. They did. It was a power and trap offense, because two tight ends and straight back. The up back was nothing but a blocker, like a guard in the backfield, and a lot of misdirection stuff, because mm-hmm. they had enough backs there right in a row to fake one way and come back the other and still have a lead back. But he really enjoyed playing under Coach Nugent, because Coach Nugent was an innovator, and he got to throw the ball quite a bit down there.
You know, Tennessee at that time was a major power, of course, under General Nealon, and then Bowden White during that period. You said Glass a minute ago, and when you said that, I was thinking of the Glass that played tailback for UT. That never he had all the talent in the world, but he just could never get going. I don't know exactly what was Glenn Glass.
I remember Glenn. My brother Bill and Glenn overlapped. Glenn was 1 or 2 years behind my brother Bill. I can't remember exactly, but after the 57. season, where they were 7-3 regular season and beat Bear Bryant's last A&M team with John David Crow, beat them 3-0 in the Gator Bowl. They gave them an 8-3 record. After that, Coach White's team's struggle until he finally was let go. The best they did after that was my brother Bill's last year in 1960. They were 6-2-2, which actually qualified them for a bowl game, and they were they got a bowl invitation, I believe, for the Gator Bowl, and they turned it down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I guess, forget about the fact that they looked up on the 60 team as not being all that great a team, but they only lost two games. Got beat 14-7 by Georgia Tech, and then the great Ole Miss team beat them something like 26-6, or 4 touchdowns to 1. That's when the younger flowers just get pretty much ran over them.
It's funny how in football you have stretches where you're almost unbeatable, and then you have stretches where you run through mediocrity.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Ole Miss and LSU were
Ole Miss and LSU were the two top teams there, along with Alabama. This is really about the time that Alabama was getting Bear Bryant came there in 58, and during those first two or three years that Bear Bryant was Alabama, LSU and Ole Miss were the top two SEC teams, there for about 3 or 4 years in a row until Alabama won the national championship in 1961, didn't they?
You think of it being a team game, which it is. I think that football is the ultimate team game.
Oh,
of course, you have the offense and the defense.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, Johnny had a running back in Pittsburgh. And, of course, Georgia had their running back.
Yeah.
And LSU had their running back. It's awful interesting. If you have someone who just seems to rise above everything else, how that particular person can control a team's ability to win.
Absolutely.
It really does.
Absolutely. I can tell you this about my own experience at Sewanee. We had a guy named Bill Johnson who was 2 years behind me. Mm-hmm. And Bill didn't play much. Only played a year and a half didn't play much in high school. He didn't have much experience.
Mm-hmm.
And before he left there, he ended up playing everywhere, just tailback, fullback, wingback, linebacker, cornerback, safety. Whatever the situation called for, it put Bill Johnson where the most vital position. Mm-hmm. Now, Bill ended up being 6'3", 220, and weighed 220 his last year. It was 6'3" tall, and he ran 100 yard ran track.
Mm-hmm.
And he was timed more than once at 9'9".
Wow.
Now, you talk about in a league like Swanee, he just controlled it. I think they lost his last 3 years there, they lost two games.
Sound like Billy Cannon.
He was about that size.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Get away.
Great time for fishing here in Middle Tennessee. This is Randy of Murfreesboro Outdoors, inviting all of y'all to come by and pick up your supplies. We've got rods and reels and line, artificial baits to get you going.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Like you're going to Smyrna, or half a mile from Thompson Lane on the right.
Okay, Jose, Tex-Mex cuisine.
Hola, amigos. This is Sergio from Okay, Jose. I'm the manager. Come join us. Come try us out. We would like to earn your business. We make everything fresh from scratch. Go and join us for a good quality meal.
Here are today's specials at Okay, Jose. Today is 99-cent mini burrito day.
Stop by OK Jose on South Rutherford next to Walmart for 99-cent mini burrito day. Again, that's on South Rutherford next to Walmart.
I'm Robert McConnell from Robert's Discount Auto Repair in Murfreesboro. What makes us different than other repair shops? We proudly employ Christian technicians. Our mechanics are honest, they do high-quality work, and they only recommend service and repairs that are truly needed for your car or truck. Give us a call at 896-1407 or just stop on by. Remember, at Roberts, we beat the dealership on service and price.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Hello, this is Dr. Thea Carner. I'm a new associate at Laser Therapy and Chiropractic Center. Come join us for the first in a series of monthly workshops that we are offering free to the public.
Our next workshop will be August 30th. We'll be discussing pro-inflammatory versus anti-inflammatory dietary choices.
Call 217-8624 for more information today.
You do not have to be a patient to attend. Just call 217-8624 to register or visit MurfreesboroChiropractor.com for more information.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
All right, right, welcome back with us. I want to let you know that this last part of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. We were talking about your, bigger than life player that was at Swanee, yeah. And I was trying to figure how in the world did Bill Johnson end up there instead of Tennessee or one of the major schools, because he had the talent to take a school to the national championship.
He's what some people call a freak. Was high split, had extremely long legs. 6'3", 220 his last year. He was on track team, ran 9.9 several times. And probably, and of course I know that this has been biased, but probably the best running back in the South, including SEC teams that year. And you wonder, okay, what's he doing going to a non-scholarship, non-athletic scholarship school? Well, the answer is he came to us, won a military academy his junior year, and didn't even go and never played football, and didn't go out to halfway through the season. Somebody told the coach about him winning this race for the new guys, and so they got him out of football, and he really didn't know anything about football much even after he got through a year and a half of high school, and he was about. He was about 6'3", but he only weighed about 185 pounds at that time. Mm-hmm. Nobody looked at him. He's playing wing back. Didn't have a chance to showcase his speed. So he came to Swanee, and the coaches there saw pretty quickly what the potential he had for a league that like we were in. Mm-hmm. And so they ended up playing him everywhere. We played six positions. Tailback on the single wing, fullback, wing back, depending on what they wanted, what kind of play they wanted to run. And then off on defense, he played a linebacker, bigger than any linebacker we had. And he played cornerback, safety. One of the biggest plays the 4 years I was there, he was playing behind me in the beginning because he didn't know anything. He was a freshman playing Washington Lee, and I got hurt on the opening kickoff, and the first play they ran to his side, he scored nothing, and he just splatters it, playing cornerback, right cornerback, he splatters this wingback on the reverse, and hit him so hard, the ball squirted back about 20 yards, and we got it and went in for a touchdown and set the tone of the game. He could make the big play on offense. He could make the big play on defense, and he could do it from more than one position. And it was just one of those freakish things. The guy that had not had a chance to learn football, had not played enough, and developed while he was in college, and became a terrific back. He was drafted by Buffalo in the AFL, and. Mm-hmm. And by Atlanta in the NFL, and they appeared to be pretty high on him, but the Army called him up for the draft, and he had passed the Atlanta physical, but then after about 2 weeks of camp and football camp with the Atlanta Falcons, he was called up to be examined for the draft, draft board, and they forfed him because they found a valve problem in his heart. And when that happened and Atlanta found out about him, they told him, we can't play you because, you failed that physical.
That's amazing.
He did not get cut because of his athletic ability. He had the ability to get cut because of physical reasons. It was just shame.
He has all the tools.
Yeah, had all the tools.
What happened to him?
Well, he became a sports writer for now defunct Chattanooga Free Press, which combined with the Times eventually. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Jacksonville, Florida, and wrote for the was a sports writer for the Jacksonville Journal for a few years. Then he Then he became a football coach and teacher at a private school in Jacksonville, and then moved around to two or three different private schools. He's now been in sales in South Carolina for several years.
Man, that could have been making multi-million dollars for that kind of talent. He sounded kind of like Herschel Walker or Billy Cannon or something like that. Those that just come around.
I've tried to think of somebody that he's kind of a blend with. I've never seen anybody quite like him because of his height and great stride. He had the greatest crossover move I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. He's so long-legged he could be running full speed and cross over without slowing down. I threw him a pass. I threw what they call grandma and shot put passes. So I played wing back and tailback. Mm-hmm. And he was in a wing back in the game, and we were playing Southwestern, which is now Rhodes College down there. His ball was at the 50-yard line. And we ran this run option to the strong side, and he goes out in the flat about 8 yards. And I was always going to run it if I could. Well, I got hemmed in, and so I just dumped it. I threw a lob out there in the flat, and he turned.
Tim Tebow pass.
Yeah. It's a good, except my mind didn't have as much power. And he turned down the sideline, and as soon as when he turned down the sideline, this cornerback came up and just instinct. The guy had the running instincts. And just immediately, he just did that big crossover, and he had such a stride. He was 3 or 4 yards away from that guy by the time he made that first step. Mm-hmm. He just seemed to leap in there when he would do that crossover. People talk about Gale Sayers being a great crossover move. He had everything that Gale Sayers, except he had a longer stride. Mm. He could do it just as well. Yeah.
Well, it's been a great show.
Oh, you mean it's already over?
The hour has gone already. I can't believe
folks
it.
Out there probably.
Brian got bored at the bit to get us out of here.
But I've had fun. Time went fast. But the folks out there, I hope they didn't tune you out. But it's been fun. Always
been fun for me.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 9 a.m.